My guest at this time is Dr. David Hogberg. He is the healthcare analyst at the National Center for Public Policy Research. He has recently done some digging into what happens to small market firms in terms of their healthcare coverage once Obamacare fully kicks in. We've heard a lot about the employer mandate last year. We heard about the latest employer mandate extension this year. But what happens for those firms that employ fewer than 50 people? Some might think they get off easy in all this because the mandate doesn't apply to them, but that's not the case. And Dr. Hogberg, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me on.
This is not theoretical for you. You work at, as I said, the National Center for Public Policy Research that employs fewer than 50 people. What happened?
For those folks who work in, you know, small employers, possibly up to 20 million of them may end up losing their insurance because of the insurance doesn't meet the Obamacare requirements. And like you said, me and my fellow employees at the National Center are now among those people. We all received cancellation letters in mid-January from Kaiser Permanente, our insurer, saying that the plan we had was going to be discontinued on April 1st, which is when we renew our insurance, and that we would have to pick a new plan from them. This is a plan that the National Center has had since basically 1996. You know, it's just kind of personal experience regarding the lie of, you know, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. One of the things I note in my article about this at the American Spectator is that so far media coverage of small group employers losing their insurance has been scant. Nothing like the people who were seeing their individual policies canceled late last year that received, you know, tons of media attention. So far, media coverage has been scant, and I do think the media needs to pick it up a little bit.
Dr. Hogberg, you mentioned about the if you like your plan, you can keep it. There was a grandfathering clause in the law about plans at this level of employment as well. But just like the individual plans, as you point out in the article, it was virtually impossible for any of these plans to be successfully grandfathered. Explain why.
If you had your plan prior to March 2010 when Obamacare became law, it was supposed to be grandfathered in. You're supposed to keep it. But the Department of Labor came out with these grandfather regulations. It's almost like telling a guy that you can keep walking on the beach as long as you don't get any sand on your feet. I mean, it's impossible and almost impossible to not violate. I'll give you an example. If one of your copays goes up $10 over 1 year, your plan is no longer grandfathered. If the coinsurance you pay for a procedure, if it was at 15% and they moved it up to 16%, it is no longer grandfathered. I mean, these rules were so easy to violate. And the Department of Labor, in this, when they released the regulation, did an analysis, which I used when I mentioned that 20 million number at the beginning. They basically said that, you know, looking over the previous 2 years, that 66% of small groups had made some change in their policy that would violate these regulations. So it was obvious from the start that these regulations were going to result in loads of people losing their health insurance. But the president kept making that promise that if you like your insurance, you can keep it, when he should have known better. And I kind of suspect that he did know better.
You tell the story early on in this piece about when this news came in from Kaiser Permanente that they were canceling your plan. You went in and showed the letter to the president of your organization, and he said, since we have less than 50 employees, this gives me an incentive to just drop our insurance and let you all go on the exchange. He let you know that that wouldn't be his decision, but how many small employers do you think will end up doing that?
Boy, that's a good question. At this point, I'm not sure. I know that some will do that, but, you know, exactly how many, I don't have an answer for you right now.
One of the things that we learned last year, late last year, is that because the implementation of Obamacare was so complicated and kind of happening on the fly, that a lot of insurers weren't exactly sure what needed to be in plans for 2014. So instead of enrollment periods early in 2014, they decided to bump them up to the end of 2013 so they could keep issuing the same type of coverage that they had been, and then they'll end up worrying about it later this year. Do you know how widespread that is? And if so, are we going to see a huge glut of employees and employers at small firms having to deal with this late in the year, which coincidentally is right around Election Day?
I suspect you will see some of that come this year. I don't know exactly how many people took advantage of that. You know, it depends on how many people were actually aware that, you know, if they didn't renew early, you know, by December of 2013, their policy could be canceled. One of the things that's going to happen with small group policies is that these will be canceled kind of progressively over the year because, and that's a difference between individual policies. Individual policies, most are renewed at January of each year. And so these cancellation letters last year had to all be sent out over a period of a few months. Small group plans are renewed practically every month, January, February. Ours is in April, so we got our letter in January. You know, people will get their letters for May a little later, June, July, August. And I think that's one reason why the media might not be giving small group insurance cancellations quite the same coverage, because it's happening over a more protracted period of time. The number of cancellations doesn't escalate very quickly, and so at this point it's not making a huge media story. That said, I suspect that the people who have insurance through their small group plan and get these letters are nevertheless going to be no less angry come November.
Dr. Hogberg, you mentioned that the plan Kaiser is suggesting you accept in terms of replacing your current plan isn't that much of an increase compared to what a lot of other people are dealing with, and you provided some examples of much bigger premium payments, deductibles, and that sort of thing that others would be facing. Any idea on average what the small group folks are looking at in terms of rate changes, premiums, deductibles, that sort of thing?
It's going to be really all over the board. I mean, we lucked out. Well, to an extent, we lucked out in that our overall premium increase isn't that bad. But, you know, I linked to a story in which, you know, people at this collision repair shop were seeing premium increases of, you know, 32%, and they were seeing doubling of their deductibles. I suspect that will not be that uncommon. For our actual plan, I did a follow-up to the story on our blog at conservativeblog.org, comparing the changes in our current policy to the changes in the new policy that Kaiser was recommending we choose. And on balance, it's a wash. I mean, we're paying less in certain areas, like the out-of-pocket limit, but on certain copays, like for primary care specialists, for imaging, you know, like for a CAT scan, we're paying much higher copays now. So, you know, at best, it's a wash. And I think this is another reason why Obamacare is in such trouble. I mean, first of all, you know, the law shouldn't be forcing people to lose their insurance to begin with. But if that's going to happen, if many people are going to lose the plans that they like, I suspect that most people would at least prefer to get a new plan that's better than the old one. But so far, I really don't see much evidence that's happening, and quite a bit of evidence that it's not, that people are paying higher premiums, higher out-of-pocket costs, networks of doctors and hospitals that are more restrictive, and so forth. And I suspect that the Obama administration and other Obamacare supporters are kind of in denial about that. And, you know, maybe that denial will end come November, but, you know, who knows?
In the piece that David wrote for the American Spectator online, spectator.org is where you can find it. Again, 31 million people employed on small group plans, and again, the estimate 20 million could end up being dropped from that coverage quite soon. David, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. David Hogberg is healthcare analyst at the National Center for Public Policy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.